Shall we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Once again, Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly to thank you for all we have. Not the trifles which can tempt us away from your glory, but for the blessings you give us every day. Your love, your forgiveness, your forbearance, and highest of all, your Son Jesus, sent to save us and guarantee our place in heaven if we follow. At this time, we give thanks to you for this time to come together to learn from your word. We pray you will be with Brother Ed as he teaches us as he leads us through the book of Hebrews. And all this we give thanks for in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. And Chris will have a microphone, and we welcome your comments. I tend to sometimes just lecture, and that's okay if that's. I know some people I don't mind setting to a lecture, but when we all give our viewpoint, we're all more rounded in our understanding, and that's what we all are looking for, is a better understanding of God's Word so we can better prepare, build others up, and so forth. Hebrews chapter 11 is a fantastic chapter in the Bible, probably the best way to start learning about faith is to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and research all these folks, which we don't have time to, and neither really did Paul. As we come down towards the end of the list, he doesn't give any detail, but relies on our ability and knowledge to go back in the scriptures and research those folks out to better. But we're at verse 29, and I don't think a review of what we've already studied would be profitable. It eats up a lot of time, and from my viewpoint, I said quite a bit about it already. So this is our third session. Or is it our fourth? I don't know. So anyway, a lot of these stand alone. So each one is kind of a locked-in study. So verse 29, they're continuing the children of Israel and Moses, leaving the land of Egypt. And so, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And if we go back, it's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, try to put yourself in those shoes, the shoes of Moses and Joshua and the others who were there. Exodus 14, beginning with verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today." And that almost gives me chills even right now. And every time I've read this, of what it must have been to have the Red Sea in front of you and the Egyptian army with horses and chariots behind you, seeking to totally wipe you out from the face of the earth. And that's where they were. But the Lord said, if you fear not, do what I say, if you stand firm here, you will see the salvation of the Lord. And by faith, that's what a lot of them did. Some did not believe, Some were saying we didn't have graveyards in Egypt, but you brought us here to die. But some had faith. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. And you know, when I read this, is God the same today as He was back then?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes all we need to do is to fear not to be afraid, and to stand firm and be silent, maybe in prayer, and see the salvation of God unfold. And see how easy we can go through trials and tribulations. Just let the Lord work for us. You battle temptation, the Lord will fight for you just like He did to the Israelites. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Can you imagine that? The Red Sea in front of you and the Egyptian army behind you. Of course, the Lord was shielding them with a cloud and a pillar of fire, so the Egyptian army couldn't advance, but they were there. Verse 16, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry land. I wonder what Moses thought. What would you think? I mean, do you know how ridiculous you could have looked if nothing happened? I think it took a lot of courage and faith and trust and belief and knowledge that the Lord will do this. All the plagues in Egypt, God did what He said He would do. But yet, is it always easy for people to do simply what God asks them to do? Doug.
One of the interesting things about this, and you kind of brought it up, is when Moses tells the people to stand still and wait, God's going to do something. But when God says go forward, mm-hmm. He hasn't opened the sea yet.
No.
James tells us that with every temptation, or 1 Corinthians tells us, with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God's waiting for us, is ready for us to go forward before He ever makes the actual way. Which means we have to have the mindset of we're going to do what God wants us to do, even if there doesn't appear to be a way to accomplish that goal. There will be a way to accomplish that goal. And if we wait long enough, God will make a way.
That's true.
And the children of Israel are looking at the water when God says, tell the people to go forward. And that, like you said, that doesn't make any sense. Moses could have looked like an absolute fool. But he had the faith. That's why he's in this chapter, mm-hmm. to tell them, we're going to go forward. I don't know how yet, but we're going to go forward.
And this is what this chapter is all about.
One of the things that this is going to be a learning process for them, this is probably the first test. But, you know, times were good before that. They were cleaning the Egyptians out, taking their gold and their jewelry and all that stuff. It was high time. And then when they got to the river,
their first
they chickened
test.
Out.
Yeah.
You know, and we see other examples of that. Elijah did that. And, you know, after the prophets of Baal, he just kind of fell apart. And I think, you know, that's some of the things that we go through. It's a learning process for them, but it just don't take much doubt to stop us in our tracks, and that's the thing we have to overcome.
Yeah, and what I was going to summarize at the end of all these lessons is that those things that were written aforetime are written for our learning. So can we learn from this? That we shouldn't ever be afraid, that God will fight for us, but we need to stand firm and we need to go forward. You know, forgetting those things in the past and press forward to that high mark without fear, without trepidation, even though it's a human fault. We fall, pick yourself up, stand firm in the faith and grace of God, trusting in His power, knowing what He did for these folks, He's doing for me and you every single day. And He's always there. And we're going to find that out a little bit later. So He lifted up His staff that the Israels may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the same victory can be ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. This was a physical victory. This was a physical warfare. We deal in spiritual warfare with stronger and greater enemies. But yet, if we stand firm and go forward, trusting in the Lord, believing in Him every step of the way, we will have the same victory, whether they be Satan himself or other dominions and angels and all the dark forces of evil. The victory is already ours. That's the promise. Stand firm and go forward. Verse 19, then the angel of the Lord who is going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the Lord of Israel. We have that same shield today. The Holy Spirit, the Word, they guard us. They protect us. What do you think Paul told about the whole armor of God? If it wasn't real and it wasn't sufficient to guard every soldier in the army of the Lord, we have that same protection. Verse 20, and there was a cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. So there was no way the Egyptians were going to get to the Israelites. I think First John said, though when we are in His hand, Satan can't touch us. So we have that same shield, that same barrier, so that we need never be afraid. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. There's the faith. He heard what God said. He believed that God would do it, and he did it. That's faith. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. In one night, God made a way. You know, the morning will come, and the hour of our deliverance will come, and the way we shall see. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on the left. So here's the picture. Pharaoh and his army, his chariots and his horses behind them. A wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left. And a clear path to the other side. And I have wondered these weeks, could I have taken that step? Moses said, this is our salvation, this is the way. The Spirit, through the gospel, tells us this is the way. You might have enemies behind you. You may have a wall of doubt and questions and peer pressure and I don't knows. How's that going to work? But yet he said, go forward because this is the way. And as we grow and mature, we learn more. And the wall is not so frightful on the right nor on the left. And we care not too much for the enemies and naysayers behind us. And to me, this is a great thing. Even by those little ones that took that step with these walls of water between them. And there was no explanation about what happened other than it happened by faith and by the powerful hand of God. Moses had faith. He heard what God told him. He believed what God told him, and then he did what God told him. And I think all three of those things had to be there. The children of Israel had faith to take that step. And then the next one, and then the next one. And they grew easier as they got closer to the other side. Without faith, there is no way to avoid the spiritual forces that work for our destruction, Doug.
I appreciate what you said about them having to have the confidence to take that step and go through. I've often looked at this passage and I think of this passage whenever I go to an aquarium and yeah. I go through that tunnel or I go yeah. through the along that wall and there's, mm-hmm. I know there's glass. Yeah. I know there's a large, thick piece of glass or plexiglass between me and that water and those sharks or fish or whatever's over there. I know that. I have confidence in that. But these people, for one, they didn't have that. They didn't have that physical barrier. But two, they'd never been in a situation like this. I mean,
who had?
They've got to walk into this place and they don't know what's holding that water back. No. They don't know what's holding it up exactly. And they have to have the confidence, like you said, take that first step. And the people toward the middle and the rear, you know, you think of the first people, well, that's okay, but the middle and the rear of the group, how long is this going to hold up? I mean, how is it still safe? I don't know. Yeah. But they had to have the confidence to get down into that drier ground, walk across, and that's important. I mean, that like you said, that is a lesson that we can learn as well.
Yeah.
God's going to make the way, but we have to do the work.
Yeah.
We have to take the step to walk into it. Otherwise, the plan that God has, the purpose that God has is pointless. It doesn't accomplish anything if we don't take the step.
Yeah. And I often wondered how long did that east wind hold up? Because they would have been going east, so they would have been, might have been walking against the wind. So there's another thing that's scary and slows us down and could be a hindrance, but press on. That's always our admonition, is press on. Go forward. Very good. Anything else before we go on to something different? Jack. Oh, you too, Chris.
When you mentioned about this occurring overnight, and the dry wind drying out their path, I was thinking of James and Peter and John in jail. Here they're in jail, they're imprisoned, there's no way out, and they're singing and praying.
Yeah.
And yet they were released by the angel of God, and those that were praying for them did not anticipate them knocking on the door.
Right.
And so there's quite a few lessons there that we can apply.
Yeah. Chris and then Paul. Mm-hmm.
A couple of things I noticed. I wanted to point out how you point out how God is the same today as he was all those centuries ago. He has not changed. And that is something that I think very few people understand what it means. To me, it means one thing and one thing above all else. God is dependable.
Yeah.
We never need to question him. He is someone we can always depend on.
Absolutely.
And another thing between what Brother Doug said and Brother Paul, I believe there is a lesson to be taken from this above all other things, is when we to be watchful and ready, but above all things, be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
Be always watchful and vigilant. So you know, okay, now we must take that step now. We must do this now. And just always be ready every day for whatever comes.
Yeah. Brother Paul.
Israel had to pass through the water to get to the promised land. And or if they had not taken that step, they would have never seen the promised land.
Never.
And the same way with baptism. To get to our promised land, you got to pass through the water.
Paul likened that they were baptized by the cloud this week.
Now here's the scary part. All these people that took this step, that went through the water, that trusted God and trusted Moses, the vast majority of them never went into the promised land.
Yeah.
Those that were 20 years old and up, they were
never made it.
They were refused entrance, and it was because of a lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the first thing. I mean, it's not even really the first thing, because the first thing was the plagues. But this is the first thing outside of their comforts and their security that they had in Egypt, that they see the power of God to help them and do things for them, is not the first time. It's not going to be the last time. That's
right.
What I was trying to say. They're going to see a lot more on their journey. But when it comes time to do that, they don't have the confidence or the faith. And so we have to be careful that we don't scoff at what God has planned, and because it could cause us to lose something that's been promised to us for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Right. There is a chapter dedicated, let us, let us don't have unbelief so that we will be denied entry into the rest, the promised land. I think Hebrews 3 or 4 back in then. So, yes, we could be like them. And that's one of the lessons. It's one of the lessons. Okay, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. This is an event that is ridiculed by the world. And there's a lot of things here that are remarkable. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, to refresh our minds. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. So they had what I have heard was maybe 13 meters, which is 30 feet, or maybe it was just 13 feet. Either way, with tower over the gate. And it wasn't a very real huge city. It was a city which you could easily march around 7 times in a day. So it wasn't like Kansas City. Maybe more like Lone Jack, if you could put all them people in a circle. But anyway, it was shut up. It was airtight. And there was no way that Joshua and the people could say, we can take this. So none went out and none came in. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Joshua into your hand. It's king and mighty men of valor. And Joshua is looking, I think, at this tall wall and how am I going to get my army in there? You know, we don't have siege equipment. We don't really have, we have slaves. We have people who just a little, well, now 40 years, but they were not trained in the science of warfare. They didn't have the tools to tear down a wall. So the Lord had a plan. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Okay. Verse 4. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every one before him. I wonder what kind of general would have made that kind of battle plan. And yet, for the people to do that, can you imagine the jeers that they heard from within and upon the walls of Jericho? Maybe the rotten tomatoes that were thrown at them, the ridicule that they faced, but yet silently they did as God is instructed them. And this is interesting. You know, the more archaeologists dig, the more they confirmed what happened in the Bible account was true. Never has anything been dug up. Of all the things that have been dug up, that has found the Bible account to be wrong. So, this is from the Associates for Biblical Research. A little article. And so, excavators have found at Jericho, what was found at Jericho correlates precisely with the account of the book of Joshua. They found collapsed walls, not walls that were broken down from the outside, but that had fallen down. Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown, and soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. So the walls around the city fell out, and the children of Israel, the warriors, went up into the city and took the city. And this is their conclusion. The walls had not fallen inward, but outward, creating a ramp of fallen bricks by which the Israelites went up into the city, every man straight before him. So they did what God said, and the impossible happened. And from every aspect of that walled city of Jericho, there was like a ramp for every soldier of the Israelites to go up and do battle. And I wonder what the warriors of Jericho and the king of Jericho must have felt at that moment when it was all over. The victory had been won, an impossible feat accomplished by a bunch of former slaves. Remarkable. What a battle plan. No science, no technology, just faith in the power and the word of God. Joshua heard the word of God. Joshua believed God. Joshua obeyed God. And God delivered them according to their faith. Doug.
Once again, if we put this in context, within the story, the account that we're told, there's no indication that the people rebelled, that the people looked at Joshua and said, "You're nuts, this won't work." They just did it. They didn't question it. And it leads me to wonder how many times during the 40 years of wandering, the oldest, except for Joshua and Caleb, the oldest of these people would have been 60.
Right.
40 years of wandering, and they had to be 20 or under in order to be there. So for 40 years, they watched. And it's interesting to, you can do the approximate math and figure out, you know, it was hundreds per day were dying in the wilderness for those 40 years, perhaps. How many times did they hear from their parents and grandparents, when God tells you to do something, just do it. Don't question it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Don't be like us. Don't end up like us. And so for 40 years, they had that lesson. And what that caused was for them to unquestionably do exactly what God had told them to do.
Yeah.
And so that's a lesson for us today, too, as parents.
Absolutely.
Don't teach your children not to question. Teach the next generation not to wonder, not to question, not just when God says to do something, just do it. Learn that lesson.
And in a very short time, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And when we do that, we show the Lord's death till he come. That's faith. We pass it on.
I think this was a lesson for this new generation. The old generation didn't heed what God told them to do. They had that miracle.
Yeah.
And so we have this new generation of people here, and God is going to show them that with God, nothing is impossible. And so I think that's a lesson that we need to keep in mind with God. We can do things that we question. We didn't think we could do. But this was a lesson for them as they entered the promised land. You can do the impossible if you just pay attention to God.
Yeah. And as they crossed the Jericho River, whom did Joshua first see? the captain of the Lord's, I can't even say it now. The captain of the army of the Lord, Jesus. He worshiped him. So who is leading the way? Who went first? Who crossed the chilly water of death, never to die again? Who first entered the promised land? Our Lord, the captain of the Lord of hosts. That's what it is, the captain, the Lord of the hosts. So, and this is for us today. That's the thing to get from all of this, is that this is the same for us. It works the same way. Verse 31, chapter 11. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. She was a resident of Jericho, but she did not perish like the others did. When she had received the spies with peace. And I think the apostle included this lady for many reasons. Maybe partly to illustrate how faith works. Rahab played an important role at Jericho by saving the spies and letting them escape the city, partly to show that strong saving faith had not only been exercised by great leaders, princes of Egypt, men endowed with the Spirit of God, but with a lowly harlot who heard about the power of God and what he had done in Egypt, and that these Israelites were his people. And it's an impossible thing to fight against God and his people. And she believed. And she wanted to cast her lot with those two spies and the children of Israel and Almighty God. So she cast her lot with them. Maybe Paul wrote this to tell us that those of us whose earlier walk of life had not been virtuous or admirable and was filled with terrible conduct, that if we look at the evidence and we believe God and we have a change of heart and we believe God, and we do whatever it takes to be counted in that group that's going to rise up one day and enter into heaven and live in that new heaven and new earth and be residents of the new Jerusalem. That's what she was willing to do. She was willing to forsake everything she knew about life in Jericho. All her history, all her past, and throw her lot in with the Lord and the children of Israel. Rahab was not a likely candidate to be included in this chapter of the heroes of faith. Yet because of her faith and what she did, the action she took, which was evidence of her faith, qualified her to be right here. And because of what she did, regardless of her past, what she did then and there had such a wonderful ripple effect in the history of the children of Israel. For she married an Israelite who had a son whose name was Boaz, who had a son whose name was Jesse, who had a son whose name was David, who had a descendant whose name was Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? I mean, we need to hear these things. Should give us courage. Paul.
It would have been very easily for these two men to disparage her.
Yeah.
You know? They were Israelites, and to them, she would have been nobody. And I think one of the things that we can take away from this is we never know when the gospel is going to touch somebody and have an effect. And I think that's one of the reasons, you know, we're taught, you know, don't disrespect someone just because of who they are, because we never know who God's going to use for his purpose. And so.
Yeah. Amen.
There in Hebrews, it mentions that she did not fall in with those who did not believe.
Right.
The way it's written, it indicates to me that if there had been others in Jericho that had chosen the path that Rahab took, that had chosen to believe in the God of the Israelites, there would have been others that would have been saved from that death.
Yeah.
But she's the only one. Mm-hmm. And she convinces her household. It doesn't necessarily say they believed, but she convinces her household to come to her house that day. Yeah. And saves them.
Yeah.
And so it's just interesting to me that few there will be who find it, is what Jesus tells us. And so those that are willing to believe, there's a benefit for them. And if you choose not to, there's no hope.
Right. I think it could have been the same thing in the days of Noah, that those who believe could have entered the ark. Bill, do you have something?
As with these folks here, we're given enough information to have faith. We're not left really in the dark. And Rahab was that same way. She heard and she believed. And that's the path that we take today, and that's the path that all people need to take, is to hear and then believe it. And these people had enough information, and we have enough information. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't see everything, but we have enough evidences that we can have faith and believe, and these folks did too.
Yeah. And if we go back to the beginning of chapter 11, she did what it took to get a good report from not the king of Jericho, and not from her neighbors, and not necessarily from her family, but from God. By faith, these people obtained a good report. I'm sorry.
You know, to go along with what Bill said, Rahab had heard about the God of Israel. Jericho, the other people in Jericho undoubtedly had, but, I mean, they would have heard about this group of Israelites advancing towards them. So, like you say, they could have believed just as well. They just chose not to.
Yeah. They thought, I can defeat this. They're not that good.
You brought into to play verse 1, also bring into play verse 6. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And there's two components of that faith. We have to believe that God is, as Rahab did. And we have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. She saw him as her only path out, her only way to survive the onslaught of the Israelites, the onslaught of God. The Israelites didn't do much. So she had to do something. She had to put that faith into action. Like James says, faith without works is dead. She could have believed all she wanted. But if she hadn't hid the spies, which put her life in danger, if she had not put the cord out, those are things that she had to do. And they may be looked at as small things, but that's what she was told to do.
Yeah.
And so obedience to God comes into play in all these examples of great faith. But Rahab is right there with them, that she had to be obedient to the things she was told to do in order to achieve that salvation.
Yeah. And for the world today, there's no way out of slavery. There's no way out of the penalty for sin than to have faith and obey the Lord and follow the way that He's prescribed. Okay, it's 20 after the hour, and we'll pick up at verse 32. And appreciate your comments. Good.